Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Liberation Minded Media production. Ephemina Osbute from the 412. Black I stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, and black I stand toe to toe with those who seek to oppress us. I am the dreams of Marcus Garvey realized. I am the spirit of Martin Luther that they despised enough to kill him. I'm the face of evolution. You see this pride burning in my eyes? I am revolution. I can see our past, his story told lies. I'm pride in its essence. You can call me the light. Black I stand with my brethren, deconstructing the cowards behind the henchmen, orchestrating financial and spiritual lynchings. I am wisdom, and this is the place where truth resides, where we can reconcile this experience of being born behind enemy lines. And if you out here foul, you better get off code and get that 10-point process. Bring your ass home and take your place amongst the kings and the queens and the gods. We'll be here to remind you if you ever forget who you are. Black I stand on the radio. Black I stand with my kinfolk. Black I stand rocking into the storm. But to my forefront for both forms, third eye on blast. Not the show prolific, no strength, no games, no gimmicks. On the front line, human revolutionary minds. We are the truth and ain't the race to stand in it. Black I stand on the radio. Black I stand with my kinfolk. Black I riding into the storm, but to my folk, but for folks gone. Third eye on blast, not only so prolific, no strength, no games, no gimmicks. On the front line, human revolutionary minds. We are the truth, and ain't the race to stand in it. Black eye,
stand. This is a Liberation Minded Media production. Get on code.
The moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pen to the pad and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slump, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car crying. And I'm dying. Stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge would rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a news feed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native robbed of my nation. I'm an African black man. Fucked out my language. Got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution, let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies, they said to come through. And I run with the niggas, they scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye, take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do all to you. And now they say it make America great. What America hates, kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free, we wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me, and it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act, yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black, fucking vultures. Super quick to steal one's culture, trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. Outstanding in the rain, just waiting, patient, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But now it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken, thinking scripture could have helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy, and they don't know shit about their history. Cause they ain't teaching at school. Leave it up to them coons, and all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our own. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house nigga, slaves, see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. If black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
Yes, sir. This is your host, Jay Dizzle, Netter Cat. You tuned in to another episode of Black Eye Stand Radio. Before we get started, let me just make a couple mentions. Last week, we had United Conscious Minds Enterprise online with us, on air with us. You know, they dropped a lot of good knowledge on what they're doing with the Black Business Emporium. I advise you to check the archives, check out the show, follow the show, check out some of the other archives. Also, what we have coming up on Black Eye Stand Radio, we have the good brother Q Butter from Brooklyn, who's going to be going into some of the things that he's doing in the education field with our babies. And he has a lot of good things going on. He's a real good brother. He's going to be joining us next week at an earlier starting time. It's going to be 3 o'clock on the East Coast, because I do have some engagements that I'm committed to later that afternoon, so we're going to start it a little bit early. I suggest that you set the reminder when you see the promotions for that, and that you tune in and that you get some of these jewels and find out how you can participate in some of the things that are going on. Also, we have a good sister by the name of Toya Thomas that's coming up. Now, especially for you sisters, for everybody, should really be tuned in to that upcoming show, because we're going to be dealing with the housing authority. We're going to be dealing with Section 8. We're going to be dealing with tenant rights. We're going to be dealing with things that directly affect our community and how you can fight back. She's going to be telling you her story. She had a historical victory last year in Washington State with a big housing complex. I was trying to kick out people who was on Section 8. So she's going to be telling you the story, the challenges, the triumphs, and keys to how we can deal with some of these problems that some of us have when it comes to housing and when it comes to, you know, our living conditions and whatnot. Also, we have Brother Garfield, who's going to be coming through. We have MBK, New Black Knowledge. Check out that YouTube channel. They're going to be coming through. Minister Hashim Azinga, the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party. You know it's fire every time he comes through, so you don't want to miss that. You know, we have a lot of different shows coming up, and what we do here on Black Eye Stand Radio, you know, we have a fairly good audience for the Blog Talk platform. We don't get quite the numbers that some other platforms get. However, what I'm very proud of, which is much more important than the numbers, much more important than the likes, is the fact that what we do on this show is we network, and we're able to do things and present experts in the field that actually can have a direct and immediate effect in your life. So that's what we brand Black Eye Stand Radio. That's what it's for. It is to accelerate and to promote the networking, the organization, and the mobilization of our people to have a direct effect in our lives in real time. So we don't really get into all the historical stuff all the time, even though we drop that, because we understand knowing our history and knowing our culture is very valuable, and we need that. So we do drop that, but we must drop things that are relevant, that we can actually use, that are actually practical to our day-to-day lives. And then sometime, of course, we do these freestyle shows where we just go ahead and air it out. We just go ahead and say what's on our mind, because we do have to have that release sometimes. Sometimes we do need those kind of discussions too. So we try to keep it balanced. Make sure you check out liberationmindedmedia.net. Check it out. 5 different platforms, in which are all independently owned black media. Because I spoke on this before, the one of the problems that we have as a community is our inability or our unwillingness to validate our own narrative. So, you know, you've all been to the Thanksgiving cookouts with your family, the barbecues with your family, the water cooler at your job, and you're trying to speak to brothers or sisters about certain topics, but they don't know what you're talking about, and sometimes you sound crazy. Well, we have to put that blame on us for that, because the fact that we could speak about ratchet stuff, the fact that we could speak about mindless subjects for hours and hours, yet if you're around some of your peers, some of your family, some of your friends, some of your coworkers, and you try to speak about Garveyite principles, or you try to speak about black nationalism, Pan-Africanism, if you try to speak about things that us as conscious brothers and sisters know about, then a lot of times the results are that they don't know what we're speaking about, or they look at us like we're some kooks. They look at us like we're some kind of crackpots for speaking about certain things that they should know about. So why don't they know about this, about some of these subjects? It's because we're not doing our job getting the message out. So as someone with the platform, I'll put the blame on me that maybe I need to pizzazz it up a little bit, things of that nature, to make sure that it's more palatable. That's my part. But all of us who participate in these kind of platforms, whether it's Black Iceland Radio, whether it's Do the Knowledge, whether it's Sun and the TV, whether it's whatever kind of platforms on YouTube or on Blog Talk or G+, you know, it is up to us to make sure we share this information so more of our people are exposed to it, so more of our people can learn some of these basic things that allow us to have the conversations that can actually lead to organizing, mobilizing, and actually building. We can't do that if our people aren't aware, because we're battling a CNN and a Fox who's getting multi-millions, hundreds of millions of views, and we're battling it with platforms that are getting 10,000 views, 50,000, maybe 100,000 listens. So we're not utilizing the tools that we have technology-wise that can actually leverage the playing field. And the reason why this is important is because if you've been paying attention to this net neutrality, if you've been paying attention to people who they've been taking off the air, people who they've been silencing, it's done for a reason. Because they understand the potential of the internet, the potential of people being able to reach multitudes without a corporate sponsor, without the okay of the FCC. And those that are listening in on, that are watching on the live stream on Facebook, it keeps on reconnecting. So you could also dial in to the show, 347-989-8767. There's also a link on the post if it is disrupting. So these are kind of things that we have to really understand, because if we're going to take the next moves that are necessary, then we have to utilize the tools that we have. I mean, these are tools that people before us did not have. Marcus Garvey did not have a Facebook account, y'all. He didn't have a Twitter account. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have email to work with. But look what he got done. The Black Panthers didn't have that. Look what they got done. Nation of Islam didn't start off with that. Look what they got done. So right now we have even more educated brothers and sisters than we've ever had. Right now we have even more skilled individuals. We have more access to information and education that we never had before. Because as educated as some of the brothers and sisters in the past were, they didn't have all the information at their fingertips. So we have that. We have the ability to reach people like never before all across the world. People in Africa are checking out these platforms. People in Brazil are checking out our platforms. They're looking towards us. They're looking towards the brothers and sisters that have overcame what seems impossible right here in the United States, and they're looking towards us. And we're able to reach them. And they're able to reach us. So we have to take advantage of these things. So I just want to let you all know about some of the upcoming shows that are coming up. Some of the topics we're going to be going in today, you know, saying it might not be, you know, what do you call that? PC. Might not be all PC. Might not be politically correct terminology, but it is what it is. We have to get into these. But first, before we even start, let me just go ahead and give a shout-out to the Creator. Praise to the Creator, the ancestors, the elders. We say Ashe to the babies. For all those who are diligently doing the work, whatever your lane is, if you're doing the work, appreciate it. And that work could also just be raising your family. That's revolutionary. Being a good husband or a good wife, that's also revolutionary. Being a good father or a good mother, that's revolutionary. Being a good brother, these things are also revolutionary. You know what I'm saying? But whatever skills or passions you have, you should be allocating some of that towards the movement. Now, this show is called Where Do We Draw the Line? And I have some clips I want to play, some of the clips that I didn't get to play last week, and some new clips that I do want to play that I will be playing later. But where do you draw the line? Where do we draw the line? That's what we have to, that's what we're up against right now. And really, to be a little bit more accurate, the line's already been drawn in many cases. So what side of the line are we on? But there are other things that we do have to draw the line on. We have to draw the line on what we are going to allow to be in our communities and in our homes. You know what I'm saying? What we are going to accept from some of these corporations, because we don't have to accept it. So we all saw what happened with that H&M. I've never even heard of H&M before that happened. For all I know, that could have been a publicity stunt that they used. Even if it is, they crossed the line. They not only crossed the line with disrespect, because they know what they did with that. They didn't just cross the line like that. They also lied. Even by comparing us two monkeys is a lie. We know who has monkey in their DNA and who don't. We don't have monkey. We don't have Neanderthal. However, H&M isn't the only, and by the way, H&M got shut down. So shout out to South Africa for some of the things that I have that I think South Africa could be doing better on, like reallocating that land, like shutting down some of those cities and resorts that they have in South Africa where African, native or indigenous Africans can't even step foot on. Yeah, it's time to go ahead and start cleaning them up. However, they did at least draw the line with that H&M shit, and they destroyed the stores to where they all packed up. All the stores H&M had in South Africa packed up and left. That's a beautiful thing. See, that's called standing up. That's called saying we're not going to tolerate certain things, because anytime you're in a situation as an oppressed people with an oppressor or an oppressive force or oppressive government, they really only can do what you allow them to do. It's like that bully. You tell your children don't be bullied. You tell your children fight back. Somebody puts their hands on you at school. And what happens when they fight back? Typically the bully backs off. So go find a softer target. So this is basically the mentality that we have to have as a nation, as a people. And we already know when it comes to these corporations, we already know they're racist. Like, why are we continuously acting surprised? Those of us who say that we're conscious are still acting surprised when corporations are racist against us, when we know that some of the strongest, most wealthiest corporations in the United States only became so because they were around during slave times and they participated in the enslavement and the oppression and the exploitation of our people. So why are you surprised that these big corporations are racist against us? Why are you surprised that? When you know that we're the last hired and the first fired, but you're still acting surprised? We need to cut that out. We need to accept that reality. We know it, but now it's time to accept it, and it's time to build accordingly. Like, we can shut these corporations down. Everybody was talking about that NFL boycott. The NFL boycott, which, to be honest with you, I knew that wasn't going to go too far. It wasn't going to go too far, because most of the people that was talking about boycotting the NFL didn't even watch football in the first place. So how are you going to affect the numbers? And then we had Brother Sue Tech, and he explained to us right here on this program that if you really want to be effective in boycotting the NFL, you have to boycott their sponsors. Now, that takes a sacrifice. If we really want to be effective, and when I tried to repeat that sentiment, and when others tried to repeat that sentiment, nobody was trying to hear it, because it's easier just to turn off the TV and watch the highlights or watch it on the internet than to say, nah, we ain't taking the kids to McDonald's no more. No more Burger King. No more Gatorade. no more Nikes, you know, some of these corporations that sponsor the NFL that we actually could have effect on. Not only would it have effect on the NFL, but we'd also just be sending a message that, yo, we can collectively and effectively and successfully boycott the powers of people who don't have our best interests and who actually go directly against us, who actually invest in private prisons, literally slavery in 2018. See, they don't have to chain you up to a cotton field anymore. Although, if you're a prisoner, they will. And you'll be picking cotton again if you're down south. You'll be fighting fire somewhere. You'll be building goods, manufacturing goods for companies who won't hire you once you're released from prison, even though you have the skill. But as long as you're making 13 cents an hour, they're all about it. Because they're getting free labor. But we're sitting here talking about what's going on in Libya. We're talking about what's going on in Libya. It's not that we don't have compassion for that, but what about the slavery that's going on right now before our eyes? Harriet Tubman said she would have freed many more slaves if they knew they were slaves. Obviously, we still don't know what it really is. Because now they're calling prison instead of plantation. And all of a sudden, we forget that fundamentally they're the exact same thing. And if you study the 13th Amendment, then you'll understand why the transformation went from plantation to penitentiary. Why the war on drugs incarcerated us at five times the rate, even though we do and sell drugs at a lesser rate than white people. But we're more likely five times to be locked up for the same crime. So this is slavery. This is a form of literal slavery. These are the kind of things that we actually can combat. You know, they say in that, I forgot what prayer it is, the Serenity Prayer, you know what I'm saying, to grant me the ability to know what I can't change and have the power, whatever. I can't remember what it is verbatim, but the bottom line is this. If we were to take control of the things that we have control of, if we were to change the things that we have the power to change, if we were to empower ourselves in the ways that we can, that no one could even stop us from doing, then all the things that affect us in an ill way would be lessened. Some of them wouldn't even be relevant anymore. Just by doing that, just by taking back control of the things we can take control of, just by working together in unison and in unity, not being uniform, not saying that we all have to be the same, but saying that we have the same objective, which should be liberation and independence. I don't even care about equality. Because if we're liberating independence, then we'll see. The cream will rise to the top. It is what it is. So I'm not concerned with equality so much as liberation and independence. So now, y'all might have seen the video I shared with Malik Zulu Shabazz in the conference that he has coming up. And this is something that I alluded to and hinted towards months ago, but because it wasn't my place to fully divulge that information, I didn't. But in a nutshell, what this conference that he's having is about is self-determination. It's about how can we self-govern ourselves. It's about taking some of these principles from the Republic of New Africa, some of these principles that we learned from Garvey, that we learned from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taking some of these principles of black nationalism. Because many of us claim to be Pan-African, and that's all good, but you really can't be an effective Pan-African if you're not a black nationalist. The idea of Pan-Africanism is that we are all connected across the globe if we are of African descent. So whether we're in South America, North America, Europe, wherever we are over this planet, that we are all connected in the same struggle, that we are family, and that what affects you affects me and vice versa. That's the basic principle of Pan-Africanism, all African. So in order to really be effective with that, we have to have the ability to govern ourselves. We have to have the ability to set forth law, customs, commerce on our own behalf, to control our own territory. So what that means to me it could be twofold. It's not just one. It's not just one solution, not just one thing that we're going to do. But it's going to be a multitude of things happening simultaneously. For instance, in the larger cities where we're the majority, that we need to really collaborate and really make sure that we control who we vote and raise up those among us to put in strategic positions to at least be able to control some of the politics and economics within these cities, to control what schools get teared down or if they don't get teared down, if they get repaired or not, if there's rec centers, who's getting business contracts, things like that. Now, that's what you call reformation. That's not necessarily revolution. That's more of a reformation. That's making things a little bit more comfortable within the system that we're in. But that's cool. But also, we also have communities, some incorporated, some unincorporated, all throughout the United States. We have actual cities, black towns. To this day, we have communities. There's Israelite communities. There's all kinds of different communities of people living on land, living off the land, living, you know what I'm saying, by laws they created, you know, doing their thing. And then we have several people who own land who want to develop that land. So that means that we have the ability to grow our own food. And we talk about food, clothing, shelters. That's just basic stuff. So we have the ability, the resources, to grow our own food if we were organized properly. And it is happening. Don't get it twisted. I'm not going to be up here acting like it's all doom and gloom and none of these things are happening. These things are actually happening. They would be happening at a faster rate, at a more effective rate, if more people knew and participated. But it is happening. So we have the ability to grow our own food. So we always complain about the GMOs and the poison and the plastics and all these crazy stuff in our food, but we can be producing our own food at a greater extent than we are right now, and we should be. With all the different companies that make clothes, manufacture clothes, the Gus Footwear, everybody's making T-shirts, jeans. We have connections overseas with fabrics. We can clothe ourselves. We can shelter ourselves. Those are just basic. But these are the things that, like, we have to really be serious about right now. That's what's going to insulate us from this oppressive system that we're always complaining about. We can't keep complaining about the same damn things. Man, it's 2018. The time for complaining is done. Even the time for blaming the white man. Look, we know who put us in this situation, but we also know they ain't going to get us out. So what we need to do is do what we can do. We need to internalize the conversation on ourselves and what we can do. They won't matter when we do that. Food, cold, shelter. These are the kind of things that we need for self-determination. We need our own laws that we go by. We need our own government. So that's what this – let me get back to the topic. So that's partly what this conference that Malik Zul Shabazz is doing, showing us different ways of self-governance, different ways of doing things for ourselves so that way we can commerce globally in a way that we can't right now. So, I mean, these are the discussions that we have to have. This is the path that we have to be on. It's time to quit using and uttering names like Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, and all these great people who done great things for our people. It's time to just stop uttering their names in vain without understanding that the principles that they taught us need to be fulfilled. The visions that they had, it is time for us to fulfill them. It is time for us to put that work in. I know it's distracting with so many things that we have that we can get into, but it is time to start putting that work in. Don't overwhelm yourself. A lot of times what we do, those of us who put in the work, we burn out. We burn out because we put our heart and our resources and our dedication and our minds and our feelings and our emotions, blood, sweat, and tears into this. And then we don't see the results that we want to see fast enough. And because it takes a lot to do this work, and you're taking on the pain and emotions of a whole people, and sometimes you're not even appreciated for what you're doing, it causes burnout. So, you know, we have to be careful and balance what we do, However, if there was more people involved, there would be less that needs to be done by each individual, and we can get a lot done with a little effort. I mean, we can do that. Like example, there's many people you see GoFundMes and crowdfunding and things like that going around. Now, it's cold-blooded to me that I've seen some little white boy with his racist-ass parents raise $60,000 very quickly because he was getting bullied. Like, what the fuck? Is he getting bullied? Really? Okay. But then when we're trying to build institutions for our people, we can't show that same kind of love. And really all it takes is a couple of, just a lot of us putting just a few bucks on it. Like this is, and I'm not saying this to complain about any GoFundMes I put out. It ain't even about that. It's about just understanding this concept. Just understand the concept of, we're just going to use an example, a $10,000 GoFundMe. Thousands of us all over social media. If everybody just put $2 on it, boom, it's there. Just $2 and pass it. I mean, like, and imagine how many different things that we can build and get done and get established, and you won't even notice it in your pocket because we're looking at ourselves as a nation, and as a nation, we're collectively just putting up a little bit of something. It's not hurting us, but a whole bunch of us are getting a lot done with little effort instead of putting the pressure on a few people, and then when they crack under that pressure, then all we do is tear them down. This is a mentality that we have to do better than. We cannot call ourselves conscious, know that the world is watching us, knowing that our own brothers and sisters are watching us from a distance. Our own brothers and sisters are watching us from overseas and watching how we conduct, because they're going to duplicate what they see if we're influencing them. So we have to be careful about that, man. That's why I had to go in on that MLK. We talked about that sacrifice, because I don't agree with everything MLK did, said, stood for. I don't. But I cannot help but to respect the sacrifice. Because whether you think he was right or wrong, what he did took a sacrifice. And the sacrifice ultimately was his life. And the work that he was doing was not easy work. That's why I noticed that people who are involved in the work, they always have respect for MLK. It's always those who ain't really doing shit who think that they can compare to his work because of what they said on Facebook or Twitter, and then you're going to disrespect someone, and he's not even alive to defend himself. See, when Malcolm X went against King, when he said the things that he said about King, at least King was alive. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say this about a dead man. And in the end, he had to respect them anyway. And they did get to meet and hash all that out. And King's consciousness did rise. And he started looking at things a different way. But he was already a threat. He was already a threat to the powers that be from day one. So I don't want to get too much in that. What else we want to get into, man? So we got to draw the line when it comes to this transgender, this homosexuality, all this craziness that comes with that. And I want to speak on this, and then I'm going to play a quick little clip of Dave Chappelle. Because sometimes medicine is easier to swallow with laughter, right? But we have to draw the line. And it's not about hate. It's about principle. And really it's about effectiveness in what we're trying to do as a people. So this isn't to blast brothers and sisters that conduct themselves in that activity, which I personally think is gross, but it's not up to me what you do. But the problem with that agenda is this. And not just that agenda. But you see, we're fragmenting ourselves. We have one struggle, and that's liberation. That's it. That's all. Imagine slaves on the plantation planting a rebellion, and some of them saying, no, 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 we got to fight for gay rights. No, 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 we got to fight for feminism. No, 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 we got, you know what I'm saying? It was one thing. And that thing was liberation, was freedom. It wasn't even liberation at that point. It was just freedom. Liberation, independence is a whole different thing. They were just fighting for freedom. Just take these fucking chains off. So when we have a situation where feminism is running rampant and starting to affect our community, And it's not that I'm against women having rights or women being treated equally or you know what I'm saying, or being able to enjoy what I enjoy. But there are some fallacies within that feminist movement. Number one, they keep on talking about women aren't making as much money as men, but those numbers are calculated. Let me just say this real quick, and I don't – well, if you're upset about it, you know, it is what it is. But when they calculate those numbers that the feminists are always screaming about, that women only make 88 cents to the dollar of a man, that's not even true. Well, it's true because they calculate it by how much you made over a year. And seeing that women are more prone to maternity leave, so when you do the numbers, maybe not all women take maternity leave, but some of them do. When they get pregnant, they're going to miss some time. So they calculate all that in there. So because in a typical work year, a man will work longer because he doesn't take time off for pregnancy or maternity leave. So that's how they do those numbers. But, of course, the real main factor is this. The feminist movement was created for one purpose. It was created because white women were not enjoying the exploitations of our people like their white counterpart was. That's what it was about. That's the foundation of feminism. And if you notice, to my sisters out there who call themselves feminists, look, be all about the empowerment of women. We're about that too. But feminism is a whole different monster. Feminism is a component of white supremacy that was used to break down the black family. That's what it has successfully been able to do. And if you notice, to my sisters out there, how many times do you see feminist movements when something happens to a sister? Think about The Birth of a Nation movie when it came out, and how many feminists and sisters were so against Nate Parker because he was accused and acquitted, but they didn't really say that part. He was accused of raping a white woman in college. But he was acquitted. He was found innocent. And if you were able to read some of the transcripts before they took him off of BuzzFeed, you would see that that bitch was a liar. But he was accused of that. And it was 20 years ago, black women rallied against Nate Parker for something that he was accused of, acquitted of, and that was 20 years. But at that same time, there was a white police officer. I believe he was in Ferguson. Don't quote me on that, who was being convicted, meaning that they already found him guilty, and he was going through a sentencing process around that same time for raping 9 black women. I did not hear a peep from the feminist movement. I didn't hear a peep from them. And to this day, I haven't heard a peep. So when do they rally for y'all's rights, sisters? Don't let them break up the family so you could pursue their needs and desires. And that's the same thing with the homosexuality. Our fight is liberation and independence. It's not who you want to sleep with. It's not you wanting to be able to boastfully come out with all your gayness or whatever with who you want to sleep with. Why are you making that such an issue? Why are you putting that in the forefront of who you are as a person? How many times have you really been oppressed because of your sexuality? Sandra Bland wasn't killed because of her sexuality. Mike Brown wasn't killed. Philando Castillo, Cora Gaines, they weren't killed because of sexuality. They weren't killed because how they prayed, who they prayed to, what they called God, what their favorite color was, if they're a Democrat or Republican. They weren't killed because of that. They were killed because of who they are. So it only makes sense that we would focus our energy and our resources towards the liberation of our people as a whole. Because if they don't respect you as a human being, it doesn't matter who you sleep with. Let's just keep it real. And I had Irritated Genie on the show a year or two ago. Y'all should check out that archive, Irritated Genie and Dawah Israel. Check that out. And what you're going to notice, there's a lot of haters in that on that show. I mean, if you could have seen the chat room, it was crazy. But even if you listen to the episode, you're going to see calls, sometimes call after call, of yes, homosexuals, white homosexuals, who are racist as hell, telling us to hang ourselves, tree-swinging monkeys, chicken and what, all kinds of crazy shit. These were these homosexual liberals. Because y'all think you guys are fighting with some people that, oh, they're so liberal and kickback, they don't accept you. These motherfuckers are just as racist as heterosexuals. So you're fighting this, so we're fighting these fights that aren't even in our best interest. But now we got these sex bots coming out. We might as well go ahead and speak about the sex bots real quick. The thought bots. So, listen, I mean, and to me, this all is related to the homosexual agenda. Just like these sexual allegations, and I'm not saying that women don't get sexually accosted in the workplace. I'm not saying that they don't have the reality that they have to deal with of sexual assault. I understand that these are definitely real things that I may not have to worry about, that my sisters do have to worry about, so I'm not undermining that. I'm not minimizing that. But what I'm saying is this. And I said this on My Skin Is My Sin the other day, my brother Jobs. If there are heterosexuals who despise homosexuals and homosexuality, which there is, then I think it would be fair to say that there are homosexuals who despise heterosexuals and heterosexuality and would wish to break up the union of men and women collectively working together. I think it's fair to say that. If that's the case, I couldn't find it to be a coincidence that all these sexual allegations are dropping and the sex bots are popping and the pedophilia is right around the corner. They're actually trying to legalize the term pedosexual. The term pedosexual, which is supposed to mean that it's a normal thing, it's just a sexual preference, like anything else, not illegal, not demented, but to be attracted to people 12 and under is normal, and it's just a sexual preference. That's what they're trying to do. And all this shit is all related. Because we know that, we know what's up, man. Black people, come on, man. We don't have to play games. We know what our culture says. We know how we feel about certain things, and we know spirit and intuition tells us. So without shaming people who conduct that activity, you know what it is. And you should also know that you know what's right. We know what we engage in and what we don't. So when we see these kind of things, these sex bots, now, of course, women's been using dildos for years and it's been accepted. Okay. I'm sure at one point it wasn't, but at this point it's socially acceptable. Okay, that's fine. And men also have had their little toys. You know, I don't get it, but, you know, I do know it is a fact. Okay, whatever. So now, they're introducing robot. They're introducing a way to replace your natural attraction, your natural ability to connect, your natural desire to interact and do things sociably to attract a mate. They're introducing an artificial way of doing one of the most basic human needs ever, which is sexual intercourse, whether it's for pleasure or for the reproducting. It's the basic human need or you know, whatever you want to call it. Basic. And now they're artificializing that. So we call ourselves conscious, right? And we understand that we are a natural people. We understand that even in the apex of our civilizations that were technically more advanced than today, we knew that we did it all in a natural way. So those pyramids didn't have a bunch of byproducts. These were raw materials that were constructed in a fashion that lasts forever and that's more technologically advanced than anything right now. And they've stood for thousands of years, but it's all natural. when we speak about African spirituality, we're speaking about naturalness. We speak about voodoo and these and Mayat, which is the same thing. We're speaking about natural things. We're speaking about how we were able to protect our health, how we're able to cure ailments, just using things that grow naturally. If you want an orange juice, then we squeeze some orange juice, some oranges. We don't whip up chemicals to make something that smells like orange juice, that tastes like orange juice, but has not a lick of orange in it. That's not us. That's artificial people do artificial things. Fake people do fake things. So now here we are accepting the idea that we'll hump on a piece of plastic, and God forbid they learn how to cook and clean the house. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like right now is a time that we need to really, you know, that's why we are going to be having the brother and sisterhood series coming up soon on here, because you know we do have to come back together, like anything that we expect to do as a nation of people cannot be done if the man and the woman isn't working together in unison. We just can't do it without that. That is the foundation of our strength. That's the foundation of power, the masculine, feminine force. That's God. So these are the kind of things that, you know, the basic things we have to work on. Even before we can start building schools and hospitals and all that, we have to be able to see these traps in front of us. Like, we have to know what time it is. Like what time is it if they're making fake human beings? What time is it if they're telling us that pedosexuality is just a sexual preference? And that's why I be saying, and I don't want to keep on going on this homosexual agenda, there's other things to be speaking about, you know what I'm saying? But you can press that one. Those who are listening, this is Black Guy Stand Radio. You can dial in 347-989-8767. You know, we got about 40 minutes left. We're not going to be doing a full two-hour show today. I do got some things I got to do. But I do want to get these messages out. What else did we have on the agenda? Let me just go through this shit, man. We just did the thought box. Okay, so on the subject of self-determination, the subject of liberation and the things that we can do to actually enjoy these things, not just to talk about them, but the things that we can actually do. Like I mentioned that we have black towns right now. We have unincorporated communities. We have reparations. We have people across the ocean, in Nigeria specifically, and even in Ghana, and they're actually opening up territory. I just seen a video of this just the other day of some brothers in Nigeria from the Ifa clan who they're building over there 1,000 homes for the return of Africans abroad, Africans in America, as they called it. Now, I don't think it's necessary for all black people to go back to Africa. I don't even think it's really, you know, it's not even conceivable. It actually couldn't even work. But for those of us who do want to, see, we can establish these connections. And that's why it's important that we understand. Like I want people to really know that we actually can form our own government. A government is only a corporation. That's all it is. United States is a corporation. Germany is a corporation. France is a corporation. Cuba is a corporation. These are corporations by definition. So we can form our own corporation that would be an international corporation, and we could do it in a way that would be recognized internationally. And these are some of the conversations that we're going to have that we're going to be going in debt with, because I'm not the one to necessarily explain all this the way that other people can articulate it, and the way it has been articulated on the show. You need to check the archives. But we do have people coming up that will be explaining exactly how this international law works, exactly the steps we can take. And this is some of the things that Malik Zulu Shabazz, I suppose, will be addressing as well. So just the concept, just so we can see how this could work, how this would work, what this would look like for us in our lives. suppose we had a government, and we actually do have other governments already operating, but let's suppose we had a massive confederation or a massive government in which now we can, that is recognized internationally, and that doesn't mean that every nation recognizes it. It doesn't even mean the United States would want to recognize it, but the hell with them if they do or if they don't. But what it means now is that we have the ability to trade goods or to accept offerings from other nations as a nation, not just as an individual, not just you because you own a business and now you're doing business with a business in Zimbabwe and you guys are doing, no, we're talking about a national thing. You know how nations trade? Now we can trade. The nation of Black America has a trade deal with Ghana or with Cuba, and Cuba is going to send us $10 million worth of medical supplies and educational supplies, since that's the field that they lead the world in pretty much. And then from us, they want some shoes. From us, they want some of the music that we produce that they have rights to sell or whatnot. Or they're just doing it because they want to help us get on our feet. See, these are the kind of things that could happen. It's kind of like when the Nation of Islam got that $5 million loan from Gaddafi. Now imagine as an actual nation, actual independent sovereign nation, there will be countries that will have our back, that will be like, yo, let me put $10 million in the treasury. Let me put $50 million. Now we develop in our neighborhoods and communities. These are the kind of things that we can actually do. This is actually the direction that we're actually heading to. But you're waiting for CNN to tell you? They ain't going to tell you. You're waiting for Fox News to tell you? They're not going to tell you. TV One ain't going to tell you. It's underground, baby. It's grassroots. But we have to spread this word. We have to make sure that our people have access to the proper information. LiberationMindedMedia.net. Because if you go to LiberationMindedMedia.net, you have 5 different platforms independent. And if you go through those different platforms, what you're going to find is every single teacher or respectable expert in any field you can think of has been through one of those shows. Check out Do the Knowledge Radio. Several hundred shows. Everybody you could think of has been on there at least once. My sister, Renee, The Rundown with Renee. Heavy hitters have been on her show, and she has her own little flavor and her ways of expressing herself and things that you may enjoy. Check it out. My Skin is My Sin. Cynthia McKinney's been on there. Like all these platforms have had the people who we watch on YouTube, whose books we see, who we may not see them all the time on the TV, but we know of them, those of us who are conscious. And this is the kind of stuff that has to get to the audience of our people. This is the kind of stuff that, who knows what Bill Cosby was going to do if he was able to buy NBC or whatever he was trying to buy before they put him with that scandal and shit. But we don't have access to some of these platforms like the TV because they're not going to put us on the TV. They'll put Cornel West on the TV, and he's cool. I'm not down to him. Once in a while, they might put one of our high profiles on TV, but usually it's to ambush them. So this is the stuff that we have to start getting out to the masses of our people, because it's going to be hard for us, or it's going to be more difficult for us. It's going to be a longer process for us. It's going to put more of the pressure on a few of us, if most of us or all of us. I mean, we have 40 million of our people in this nation, they say. They say 40 million. I'm going to say it's 100 million, but just go by their numbers, 40 million. So 40 million people, I bet you 90% of them has heard of Fox. So that means that our people are being programmed by a government and a media that is backed by corporations, which means by default their real job is to exploit as many people as possible, because that's what keeps the machine running. So that means the information that we get is going to be to entice us to buy goods from people who mean us no good, to entice us to think a certain kind of way, and that's why we look at each other crazy. That's why we'll trust who we shouldn't trust, and we'll look at each other like we're enemies. It's because we're being programmed as such. So in order to reprogram and to unprogram, then we have to be able to control our own narrative. We have to be able to get and give the information that's best for our people, FUBU, for us, by us. We have to be able to validate those of us and organizations that are working on our behalf. And part of the problem is we don't even know about all of them. Yeah, we know about Red Cross. We know about Salvation Army. But do you know about New Era Detroit? Do you know about several of the other community-based grassroots organizations operating in your community right now? See, we have to have more hands on deck. So that means more people have to know, because the more people who know, the more people will get involved. The more people get involved, the more will get done. The more that gets done, now we can show and prove, and other people will want to come and build. Let me see. Let me check some of these messages, man. What we got? Elena Porter. Peace to Elena Porter. Matter of fact, you need to check some of the shows that she's been on. She goes in. And let me see what she said. We have the right to have a government on the continent. If African countries donate land and a government here in the U.S., there is no either or. And, yeah, I'm with that. We should have both. We should have governments, territory, city states, all over. That's the process of us coming back into full power. That's the, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it's going to take for us to protect ourselves from and destroy the system of white supremacy. Is going to take a collaborative effort. It's going to take basic things like the black men and women being able to hash out our problems and quit with the gender wars. And I'm not saying that they're as big as it may seem like on the internet, but it is big enough to where, you know, we do have to mend and reconcile with ourselves, with our individual self, with our family, with our community. Yes, we are entitled to both. Like these are the kind of things that we're going to have to do on a personal level, but we also have to understand what is available to us. We have to understand what. So shout out to Morris, to the Morris brothers. I might have gotten into some things with them, but at least they do understand, like, yo, there are certain things that you have to look into. There are certain things that the masses don't know. And by knowing these things, we can participate in the already ongoing efforts to establish these things, because these things are already in the works. Under the law, the right to return. We are entitled to both. So let's see what else we got. Let me see let me check the studio real quick. All right, we got a caller that. We're going to go ahead and take a call real quick from the 773.
Peace.
Radio.
Lafayette, yeah.
Lafayette.
Get it, man.
What's good,
man? What's up, man? It's all cool, though. Nah, I was just starting out the show tonight, man. I ain't had time lately, so first I want to apologize about that. Busy with the ripping and the running. But, like,
no.
Joe, back to it. Hey. You're on point, man. We do need to control our narrative, you know, and like, our publications that we got going on that, we trying to get in circulation, like, everybody should be copping it. Grabbing it, going to the site every single week or month or however the issues I released or whatever. I mean, it's a number of different magazines. You got your show that you do a couple times a week and everything. And so, like, these are the things that we need to really be able to control our thought process, our information that we have, right? I mean, because it's cool that you might see something on the news every so often, but like you said, they ain't going to put nobody real on the TV. So it's just like we got to use our resources all the way through.
That's right. As a matter of fact, speaking of resources, for those who don't know, this brother right here is the creator of MelanatedPeople.net. So, you know, I put this video that everybody was sharing in the messenger about how we actually give permission to Facebook to spy on us. So I put that video out on my timeline, and I put it with the melanatedpeople.net website to entice people to understand why we need our own platforms. Because I knew that they were capable of doing these things. I knew they were capable of hacking to our cameras. Like, the technology is there. I understood that. But I didn't realize that we actually gave them permission to do these things. And I'm sure it's not just Facebook. There's a lot of these platforms. A lot of the things that we do on the internet, we're giving them permissions we don't know. So why not have our own platforms? And since we do have our own platforms, why not, you know, saying use them? So the actual website, melanatedpeople.net, is within the episode information on this show, which it is pretty much on every show. So you can go and start your account. You know, say you can friend me, Nettercat J Dizzle. You'll find groups on melanatedpeople.net. You'll find heavy information. And you won't find coonery. There's one thing I noticed that I ain't seen. I ain't seen too much cooning, shucking, and jiving on Melanated People. It's people who really have a love for themselves. So that's a plug for you, my brother.
I appreciate it. But to the note, though, to contribute to our overall efforts, one thing, Jay, that I'm thinking about doing is that you just kind of brought to light. I'm really thinking about, like, doing a newsletter. Like, with
a
all
newsletter?
Our different, yeah.
Yeah, we need that. In fact, we're starting a paper up here called Brown Sugar, which will actually start going into print. But it's like a local paper, which is going to go into print probably by March. Yeah,
okay.
We do need those. We need some of those on a national level, and they're not really that expensive to start on a local level. I mean, we have to start disseminating this information and controlling our narrative. You know what I'm saying? We can't take our directions from people who we know don't have our best interests. And it's not even about if they hate us or not. It's about that they have to protect the system and the society that they have built, because it's fragile, and it only is able to be successful if we're ignorant and if we're not doing what's in our best interest and if we look at them as superior and us as inferior. That's the only thing that keeps this white inferiority, which some call white supremacy, alive. It's only because of the narrative that we have and the perspective that we have. So we have to have our own narrative. Chinese people in Chinatown, they have several of their own newspapers. It's not racist or wrong. It's what they should do to preserve their own culture. Jewish people have the same. Koreans have the same. East Indians have the same. Like these are the things that we should been already had. Actually, these are the things that we've already had, but we forgot about them with the integration. So now we have to kind of fall back and recalibrate, and we have to control our own narrative, man. So get that newsletter out, man.
For sure. Appreciate the inspiration.
And I've been looking into it. If you want some help on looking into printing costs, man, it's not that expensive at all, bro. Even for like a full color one, I've been looking it up. You know, we've been doing ours online, and we're going to take it to print. We meant to take it to print already by now, but we'll be taking it to print in a couple months, and it's not that expensive. You know.
Okay. I could hit you offline about that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Anything else you want to drop?
Man, you know, as always, sign up Melanated People, our own social network, you know. You get your updates, get your friends, you got your groups, you know. It's all us all the time. Oh, and to that remark about the coonery thing, the reason for that is because we do control our narrative. So if we see somebody up in there up on that nonsense, they out.
Yeah, that's what's up. And shout out to Cat Daddy, man. Shout out to Cat Daddy.
For sure.
Good brother. All right. So you know, this is what's going to be necessary. This is what the future is, y'all. Like you know, the future is, the now is changing so rapidly that the future is what we should be focusing on. And the future is not sucking on the titty of Uncle Sam. not expecting them. You know what I'm saying? You know what hurts me sometimes is when I see some of our people and the way they're speaking is as they are infants or they're children. And I guess collectively as a people, I mean, Elijah had it right. He said he couldn't give babies steak. He had to give them milk. That's why he did the teachings the way he did the teachings. But as a people, we're still in that infancy stage overall. And this isn't to demean our people, but, you know, when we say things like, what are they doing for us? What are they going to do for us? Like, yo, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? I seen a post that was, I'm not going to mention no names, but somebody had a post in one of these groups, and they were like, yo, what have Africans done to help us? And I'm like, yo, what do you mean? Like, who asked those kind of questions? Who asked, what can someone else do for you when you can do the damn thing yourself? Like, who's going to come tie my shoe? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. That's not the way that free people think. That's not the way that people who are independent-minded think. That's not the way of a black nationalist. That's not the way that you think when one minute we're calling ourselves kings and gods and the original, we built pyramids. What's the whole use of even going through all that? If when it comes to doing simple things, we act like we're incapable of doing these things. What's the sense of talking about Black Wall Street in 1920 who had the ability to feed, clothe, shelter themselves? Yeah, they lacked in defense. But everything else was popping. So what are you saying that we can't do what our ancestors did 100 years ago when they didn't even have the tools that we have? You're telling me we can't do what our ancestors did 3,000 years ago? Then why the hell are we keep on talking about that shit? We have to look into the future. Into the future. And in the future, that promised land that MLK was speaking about was not someplace far off beyond the clouds. He was talking about our ability to have self-determination and justice for our people. Our ability to control our own narrative. Our ability to be able to meet the needs, the goods and services that we have, and for us to be able to meet them ourselves. That's what the future is. And if you don't jump on board and get to this work, we're going to be lost in the sauce. They shut the government down. The government's shut down right now, in case y'all didn't know. The government's shut down. So they're not even operable right now. So how are we going to survive if that's what we're dependent on and if we're not even doing some of the simple things that we can do to sustain ourselves? Like the simple things we could do to sustain ourselves. The things that we were doing back in the day like it was nothing. Who was growing the food back in the day? It was us. So why are we afraid to now grow food for ourselves? Why could you put your effort into working for someone else all the time, but you can't even put a little bit of effort? I'm not singling nobody out, but I'm just saying this is us. We're all in that same category. I mean, imagine our ancestors who must be rolling in their grave because we lack the ability to do the things that they were doing even in enslavement. They were able to grow their own food. They were able to make their own clothes. They had the skills that actually built this country. Economically, infrastructural-wise, literally built this country. Forced to build it for someone else. But now we have the ability to build our own thing, but we're asking what other people can do. And our people do have to be educated, Elena. Absolutely. We have to be educated in principles, in culture. We have to be educated in law. We have to be educated in industry. We have to be educated in the ways, in the steam. We have to be educated in the ways that is necessary in order to actually build a nation, to actually be able to have self-determination, to actually be able to control our own lives and not have them controlled. Exactly. And that's a good point. We're witnessing imperialism hopping on one leg, time to focus on our own self-determination. Now listen, like, I know many of us always are saying things like, you know, America's going to fall, Babylon's going to fall. What was the tail is going to become the head. And we have all these fancy things that we say, and this is true. I mean, it's true. So as we see this start to fall, as we see that the whole world is starting to peep game, like, yo, man, America ain't what they say it was. They sold us this dream, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't nothing like that. And now the world is like, yo, man, we can't take this. I mean, to the point where South and North Korea, who have been separated since 1950 from that war, are now having diplomatic talks to mend the problems that they had, to reconcile the problems that they had. Why? Because they know that this beast is falling. They know that as any beast falls, it's going to fight. It's going to claw. If you corner a little cat, it's going to fight the hell out of you. Of course, if this beast is falling, it's going to fight. It's going to claw. It's going to do everything it can. Because right now, all it has is the illusion that it's indestructible, the illusion that it will forever reign, the illusion that we can't do anything. We're just poor little Negroes, and there's nothing we can do. This is the illusion, because when you can't defeat something, when you know you really can't, then you have to make it defeat itself. So if we're starting to see these things happen, then we should be looking towards ourselves, like, how can we sustain? What happens if the government is shut down? What happens if they pull all the resources for all these public assistance programs that we rely on, which we're entitled to? They call them entitlements. No, we are entitled to that. Like, we're entitled to all of our people being able to eat. We're entitled to all of our people being able to have a decent home for after what we've done. But what's fair isn't always what is law. So therefore, that means that we have to have the ability to feed ourselves. We have to have the ability to educate ourselves. They can shut down as many schools as they want. It shouldn't matter, because what we should be doing is clicking up as individual homes and homeschooling like that. And I know it's not always so feasible, but this is how we have to start looking at things. We have to start networking with different institutions that are grassroots in our communities and figuring out some of the solutions. What can we do? What can we do to make sure that we can sustain ourselves? What can we do to make sure that we don't have to rely on if the government is going to give us food stamps or if the government is going to do all these things that they should be doing for their people, but we know that they'd rather spend the money on wars. We know that the system and the government is what we call the devil. It's the evil. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing. When we speak about our whole concept of God and the devil, and this isn't to belittle anybody's religious views. Hopefully it will just edify and refine them. Because when we look at concepts like God and devil, we have to take account where these concepts came from as we practice them now. Because if we don't recognize what really God and devil is, and devil is not some person under the ground, red with horns and a pitchfork and all that shit, but it's actually the manifestation of evil that we see every day right above ground. So why that's important, and why it's important to really acknowledge what and who God is, it's important because we're involved in activities every day, which we have these conflicts every day. So imagine seeing an atrocity happen right before your eyes, four policemen shooting down a loved one, and you're blaming it on the devil, but you're looking at the fucking devils that did it. So that causes a disconnect from reality. Imagine being in a situation, a terrible situation, and then being able to come out of that situation because of the assistance of a human being. And then you give the praise to something else that wasn't there. I'm not saying don't believe in the Most High, don't believe in all that, but understand that even through that, it's a connection of self, and that's manifest by the deeds of humans. So we can act devil. We can be devil when we're vibrating on our lower frequency. frequencies, and when we're doing things that are controlled by, you know what I'm saying, elements that are of the lower nature, and when we're doing evil, that is devil. We can do the godly thing and be gods when we're creating, when we're looking out for humanity and our people, ourselves, when we're protecting our babies, when we're protecting our women. The women doing what they do to assist their man. That is God. Like real God, real devil and God are real. It's not such a concept. That's my point. So it becomes dangerous because when we don't identify these kind of things, then we'll give the credit, whether it's good or bad, to something that is not tangible, and therefore it's hard to really change those realities because we've already detached ourselves from reality. So I'm not saying give up what you believe in. I'm saying let's look at it on a practical, in practical terms. I'm trying to find this clip. But I really don't. I'm not even going to play that clip because I want to go back to that particular discussion. But liberationmindedmedia.net. Make sure you follow Black Eye Stand Radio. Make sure you share these platforms, even if it's not just this one. Like when we see different, we have to validate it. Because what we want, the goal should be for all of us who are listening, whether you're listening to this live or the archive, the goal should always be for you. So we call ourselves conscious. And if you're listening to this, you probably are conscious. So we call ourselves enlightened, and we understand more of the truth. Like we're able to really understand things that other people can't, like 9/11. You know, say that, like that was the groundbreaker, game over right there. So since we understand these kind of things, and since we know that masses of our people don't, in order for us to really be able to relate to those people, then we have to make sure that they understand what we understand. We have to give them a way of getting some of this information to normalize some of the things that we've already accepted as reality because we know it is reality. It's because it's dangerous when you're someone who is enlightened and you're surrounded by sheep. That's very dangerous. So the way we decrease that danger is we make sure that this information gets out. Okay, we don't have a $500 million budget like these major networks on TV have. We don't have corporate sponsors. McDonald's is not going to give Black Eye Stand Radio a check to wake up its people. It's not going to happen. And that goes with any of these underground platforms. But this is the future, though, being able to control our own narrative, being able to leverage what we don't have in finances with what we do have in technology. So the way that works is people getting the information out, giving people the ability to discern this information and the opportunity to participate in some of the works that we're doing. I know a lot of y'all out there are doing work. Like from all the stations, I don't want to say it like that, but I do know that people who tune in to Black Eye Stand Radio are more prone to being people who actually put in work. Because how else could you relate if you're not, unless you're learning something and you're preparing yourself? But even those who may not have found their way as of yet, who may not know exactly what they can contribute, they know they want to be a part of this, they know that they love their people, they know that this is true and it resonates with them and it's confirming a lot of things that they've been meditating on. But sometimes, you know, you don't know exactly what to do. How are we going to get involved? What can I contribute? First things first, never think that because your life isn't perfect or because never think that you're not good enough to get involved. I don't give a damn if you're a drug dealer, damn it. Put away some of that money and buy some damn gear from some of these black businesses. You'll find your way out if that's what you're trying to do. But until you find your way out, what you should be doing is supporting the platforms that are giving the information. And that support could be anything from just sharing the shit, from putting some money up, from saying, hey, yo, I got a story I want to tell. Can I come on the show? Hey, I know somebody who needs some exposure. Hey, I know of an organization in my neighborhood who maybe people don't know about. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. This is how we grow this shit. This is how we normalize this. This is how we get more participation. And you'll be surprised how much easier it is to get things done with participation. I can tell you this from fact. Because I'm in Seattle, Washington, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Washington State. I don't even want to hear it from y'all that's in these big cities. Y'all that's in Cleveland, Atlanta, New York, L.A., all these towns, all these cities that have a large population of our people. I'm in one of the whitest states in the country, one of the top five, surrounded by the other five. So it's not easy to do some of these things. It's not. But once your consciousness really changes, you'll start attracting people who are like-minded to you. You'll start attracting people that you need. You'll start recognizing things you didn't recognize. So the duty right now is to get this information out. Help get this information out. Participate how you can. You know what I'm saying? I put the post up, and what I said on that post was the spillover effect, meaning that, you know, a lot of times we don't get involved in things because we don't see how it affects us, but sometimes out of what I've learned is sometimes out of selfishness, you got to be your brother's keeper. You got to be your neighbor's keeper. You got to sometimes look out, because if your neighbor's starving, they might break into your house. You dig? So we got about 7 minutes. Let me get to this other call. 253. I know what B. What's up, sis?
Mike Power.
Mike Power, how you doing?
I'm okay. I had the phone down and was cooking, so I couldn't really get into everything, and I apologize about that. I just came in to tell everybody to, confirm what you're saying. I'll be on with some people, you know, just giving the resources out for, you know, people that deal with evictions and don't know what their resources are and wrongfully dealing with these racist landlords. There is a way to combat it and fight it if you knew your rights. And I will just be on the show next month to break all of that down. And I'll probably,
Let me just tell the people. I mentioned at the top of the show. This is Toya Thompson. At the top of the show, I mentioned the sister's going to be coming through to lace us with some of the tenant right information, some of the fair housing information. She's going to be telling you about her story, her struggles and triumphs. I urge y'all to make sure that you tune in, especially if you're going through or know someone who's going through, or if you're subject to go through some of these things that people go through, you know what I'm saying? Because really, to be honest with you, every fight isn't about race that we have as a people. Yes, race does determine a lot of different factors, you know what I'm saying, what we deal with, but sometimes it's not. Like when people start realizing that there's actually wealthy people who don't really want people under them to be able to have access to the resources and the power, because then that compromises their own power and authority. So when we're speaking about some of these things, there's multiple ways to look at it. Of course, we are black first. We are about our people. But some of these things are universal. So if you are going through a situation with housing, with tenants, with landlords, with things that you know aren't right, then you want to tune into the show. This is a show to help the masses of the people to be able to overcome some of the oppression and discrimination in the housing sector.
Absolutely. And just to add with that, we do have legal teams, and we will be directing you to everything that we did not know out here, from legislation to how to combat these people, expose these people, and learning how to organize with your neighbors when all of you guys, just say if you're in a complex and they're slapping thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, we're dealing with this like all over the country. But I will be telling you how you can fight it. And when you fight it, you will actually be able to probably change the laws, and making them laws have ripple effects in other towns and cities so that they don't be no more victims to these crimes that they're doing. So I can't wait. I have people coming on that right now want to talk to you when you're done or whenever you're available. But, I mean, these are awesome people. And when I tell you they're the big time, I mean the big time. Anytime you can influence people like senators and governors to tell you to come out there and keep on, speaking to stop this stuff, you know that it's going to be an awesome show. So I advise everybody to tune in when that night comes.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, and as Elena was saying earlier, education, we always say knowledge is power. Knowledge is potential. And with that potential, there's power within it. So what I'm saying is, like I've been saying, a lot of the things that we can actually remedy, if we don't know that we can remedy it, then we give up. If we don't know certain things, if we don't have access to certain things, we don't know how to participate or how to go through the protocols and how to maneuver, then we end up getting stuck. And a lot of times it's just that we just don't know. We just don't know.
So
that's why we have to get this knowledge out. That's why this show is going to be powerful, because I know there's people listening right now that may be going through this, or maybe they know somebody who is, maybe a cousin, maybe a nephew, a niece, somebody that they know, maybe them themselves.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to get these major keys, and unlock these doors, you know what I'm saying? Because that way we can raise our standards of living, we can lower the stress, we can maneuver, we can get things done. Because I know that it's hard to be gung-ho about social justice and stuff if you're not even comfortable yourself, if you have a lot of stresses upon you. That's why we're going to be having Q-Butter coming in, going into credit, and how to get better credit and more access to some of these resources. That's why you're going to be coming in to let us know about the housing. That's why a lot of the programs on Black Eye Stand Radio are catered towards being able to do things in real time, practical things to make changes in your life.
Absolutely.
Let me see what we got, because we only got a couple minutes. I don't want to drag this show on. Damn it, I can't find this clip. Dave Chappelle.
I wanted to say there might be a person helping me that already, that from KISS FM, KISS FM, you know, that deals with media. So I'm going to be talking to her, and, you know, she's just a direct comrade. Will really spice this up and get y'all going. I mean, from like you were saying, the credit, everything. You don't even have to talk to them credit people. You can really just hang the phone up, because the more you say and admit that you owe them or something like that, that's how they get you. But, again, we'll go into all those details. Y'all just make sure you have your papers and your pens, and you can even Google right now just for clarity to find out what I'm talking about. But I would rather you guys wait, but if you want to Google just to see a little bit, go ahead and Google me. My name is T-O-Y-A. That's how you spell it. T-H-O-M-A-S. It's just bit in Renton, R-E-N-T-O-N. And you go right over, and you can check the images just for clarity. And I just can't wait to tune in to see y'all on the show. Thanks, J.D.
Appreciate it. Yes, Google that. Let me also give a shout-out to Queenie for that intro you made. Also got to say what's up to God King Live for this outro song y'all about to hear. Make sure you check out liberationmindedmedia.net. Follow Black Eye Stand Radio. You can also follow on Twitter, Black Eye Stand RBG, Black Eye Stand Nation and Facebook. It's Nation Time and melanatedpeople.net. You know, saying I appreciate the callers, the listeners. Make sure you share this information. Make sure you remember Q-Butter is coming up. Brother Garfield's coming up. MBK is coming up. Hashima Zynga. Of course, you know Toya Thomas is coming up. We have a discussion on Liberia coming up, and we're going to keep it pushing. If you have any show ideas or any guests that are interested in getting some exposure, make sure you email at blackguystand.radio@gmail.com. Peace to the gods and earth. Ashe to the ancestors. Praise to the creator. We out.
Black Life Stand. Black Stand Radio with your host, Jay Dizzle. Coming to you with high frequency of all type of intelligence, Black Stand Radio gonna bring you to
Black Stand Radio. I'ma tell you what the people really talking about, Black Stand Radio. I'ma tell you what the world really talking about, Black Stand Radio. I'ma tell you what the universe talking about, Black Life Stand. Black Life Stand on this radio.
One, we the fire.
Two,
and the rain.
Three,
mix the thunder.
Four,
and we became.
What you wanna know, you gotta get it, gotta listen to the Black Stand Radio right here. What you wanna know, you gotta get it, gotta listen to the Black Stand Radio right here.